Senate will please come to order. Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Roll call for Wednesday, February 22nd. Agar?
Present.
Anderson?
Here.
Anselmi Dalton?
Here.
Baldwin?
Here.
Barnard?
Excused.
Boner?
Here.
Bouchard?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Present.
Christensen?
Here.
Coe?
Excused.
Dockstader?
Here.
Driscoll?
Here.
Ellis?
Excused.
Emmerich?
Here.
Hastert?
Here.
Hicks?
Here.
Kinski?
Here.
Landon?
Here.
Meyer?
Here.
Moniz?
Here.
Nethercott? Pappas?
Excused.
Perkins?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Rothfuss?
Excused.
Scott?
Here.
Von Platen?
Here.
Wasserberger?
Excused.
President Bebout?
Here.
24 present, 6 excused.
Prayer this morning by Reverend Richard Gilbert. Please rise.
I'm using the words and thoughts of Senator Meyer and St. Paul in his letter to the Philippians. Grace and peace to you from God the Father. Let us pray. We pray for Senators Enzi and Barrasso and Representative Cheney as they deliberate and make decisions for the welfare of the United States of America. We pray for Governor Meade and all this in this chamber as they write, debate, vote, and sign a legislation for the welfare of the state of Wyoming. May knowledge and full insight be given to each to determine what is best and produce a harvest of right decisions for the well-being of all Wyoming citizens, the wildlife that live here, and the land and the water within her boundaries. Grant an understanding, an open mind, wise wisdom to all the young people assembled among us, and to realize the potential of leadership that resides within their hearts and minds. Give all of us grace to do things without murmuring, envy, or rivalry, but to shine like stars in the world. Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, let us do these things. Let us keep on keeping on. And may the God of peace abide with us always. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Reading correction approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the journal report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of February 21, 2017 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Bouchard, chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Our doctor for the day is Dr. Michael McClue from University of Wyoming Family Medicine here in Cheyenne. Nurse for the day is Aaron Rumsey from Iverson Memorial Hospital in Laramie. Welcome. Today in Wyoming history, in 1897, President Cleveland issued a proclamation establishing the Bighorn National Forest up in Sheridan County and parts of Bighorn, possibly. Session status. Today is day 30 of a proposed 37-day session. Messages from the House.
from the House of Representatives, February 21, 2017. Message number 348. Mr. President, the following bills passed the House on third reading by the votes indicated. Senate file number 27, State Archives Amendments, ayes 60. Message number 351. Senate file number 67, CHIP Program Amendments, ayes 60. Message number 352. Senate file number 69, Small Employer Health Reinsurance Program Amendments, ayes 60. Message number 353, Senate file number 102, Board of County Commissioners Designee Zoning Certificates, ayes 56, noes 4. Message number 358, Senate file 118, Food Freedom Act Sales Locations, ayes 58, excuse 2. Message number 338, concurrence passed. Mr. President, the following following House bills, the House did concur with Senate amendments by the votes indicated. House Bill number 19, Sales from Remote Sellers, ayes 42, noes 17, excused 1. House Bill number 38 on message 341, School Finance Interfund Borrowing, ayes 59, excused 1. Message 342, House Bill number 82, Local Optional Sales and Use Taxes, ayes 56, noes 3, excused 1. Message number 343, House Bill number 291, Department of Health Facilities, ayes 49, noes 11. Message number 355, concurrence requested. Mr. President, on the following Senate files passed on third reading in an amended form by the votes indicated. Senate file 15, ayes 32, noes 28. Concurrence requested. Message number 356. Mr. President, the following Senate file passed on third reading in an amended form. Senate file number 44, ayes 50, noes 10. Senate file 44 is speech pathology and audiology. Message number 357, Senate file number 53, veterans hiring preference. Ayes 50, noes 10. Message number 349, Senate file 56, Omnibus Water Bill Planning, ayes 60. Message number 350, Senate file number 62, Telepharmacy Amendments, ayes 60. Message number 354, concurrence requested. Senate file 126, Guides and Outfitters Penalties, ayes 46, noes 14. Message number 339, concurrence failed. Mr. President, the House failed to concur on Senate amendments to House Bill number 37, Teacher Accountability, ayes 18, noes 41, excused 1. Message number 340, conferees appointed, Joint Conference Committee 1. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with a light committee, number 1 from the Senate, on amendments to House Bill 37. The House conferees are Representative Northrop, Chairman, Representative Brown, and Representative Wilson. Message number 344, concurrence failed. House Bill number 22, Business Entities Communications Contact, ayes 16, noes 44. Message number 345, conferees appointed, Joint Conference Committee number 1. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with a light committee number 1 from the Senate on amendments to House Bill 22. The House conferees are Representatives Wanitzer, Chairman, Representative Biteman, Representative Sweeney. Message number 346, Joint Conference Committee report not adopted. Mr. President, Senate file number 6, Radioactive Waste Storage Facilities Amendment. The House failed to adopt the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report. By the vote indicated, ayes 18, noes 41, excused 1. Message number 347, conferees appointed. Joint Conference Committee number 2. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with a like committee number 2 from the Senate on amendments to Senate File 6. The House conferees are Representative Greer, Chairman, Representative Burkhart, Representative Pieperinen. Signed, Wendy Harding, House Chief Clerk.
Okay, you want to appoint some conference committees. Conference Committee for House Bill 37, Teacher Accountability, Chairman Senator Coe, Senator Kinski, and Senator Peterson. Conferees for House Bill 22, Business Entities Communications Contact, Senator Pappas, Chairman, Senator Agar, and Senator Case. Do we have standing committee reports? Just a second on this. Senator Emmerich?
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Behind us in the fishbowl are the fifth graders from Jessup Elementary in my district with their teachers, Ms. Butterfield and Ms. Adams. Please welcome them.
Welcome to the Senate. Standing committee reports. Oh, excuse me, just a second. Senator Ellis.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Mr. President and members, I am sad that I missed our roll call this morning as I was stuck in a committee hearing, but I wanted to pay special recognition for our nurse of the day, who is Erin Rubsey. I met Erin some 20-plus years ago at a high school leadership conference that we both attended in Casper. Our paths crossed again as Girl State delegates and then later as UW freshmen. So Erin was my roommate for many of those formative years. And after we graduated, Erin went on to attend Creighton. She now works as a nurse at Ivinson Memorial Hospital in Laramie, and she is a certified sexual assault nurse examiner, one of the few, if not the only one, that we have in our state. So I just want you to think about that when you have some people who experience that awful trauma in their life. It is my dear friend Erin who takes care of them. Last year, the Casper Star Tribune recognized her as one of its top three nurses of distinction, and it's a very fitting award for a very amazing person. She's also the mother of three beautiful kids, so I just want you to pay special attention to my dear friend, our nurse of the day, Erin Rumsey.
Once again, thank you. Wow, and I just had her help me out on an issue, so I feel pretty good about that. The question I have, which one of you ran for governor at Girl State?
Mr. President, I was vice president of the Senate at Girl State.
Senator Von Flatern, what do you think of that? No comment. Now we'll get to, anybody else have any other privilege of the floor they wish to ask for? Standing committee reports.
February 16, 2017, Mr. President, your committee number 7, to whom was referred House Bill 186, engrossed, Improvement and Service District Services, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Case, Pappas, and Scott. Excused, Senators Agar and Nethercott. Senator Case, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 4, to whom was referred House Bill 236, engrossed, School Finance Omnibus Education Funding, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Coe, Ellis, Pappas, and Wasserberger. No, Senator Rothfuss. Senator Coe, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 1, to whom was referred House Bill 15, engrossed, Sex Offender Registration Fees and Penalties, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Christensen, Hicks, Kinski, and Nethercott. Senator Christensen, Chairman.
Senator Coe. Mr.
President, House Bill 236 just read in, does have an appropriations. Request it be re-referred to committee number 2, appropriations.
Without objection, House Bill 236 is referred to committee number 2, appropriations. Senator Case, are you ready on message number 337?
Yes, I am, Mr. President.
Reading clerk, please read that message.
Message number 337, referencing Senate File 45, Liquor Dispensing Rooms.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move message number 337, the concurrence request to Senate File 45, Liquor Dispensing Rooms. Mr. President, two small amendments here. One I'm thoroughly ashamed of, though, about on page 6, line 23, there's a, in the bill it has, very bottom of that page, license building, and this is just a notice. And so our friends down the hall didn't feel it was necessary to have the modifier license before the word building. It's perfectly fine with me, and I think all of us would agree. The next one is I'm terribly ashamed to say that our committee let a such sneak out of the Senate, and page 8, line 16, the House got us on a such, and I humbly ask that we concur.
Such is the case. Is there any further discussion? There being none, the motion is that the Senate do concur on message number 337 to Senate File 45, Liquor Dispensing Rooms, and you've been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk, please call the roll. You vote aye, you vote to concur.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstader?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Ellis?
Conflict.
Conflict. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Case, aye to conflict. Driscoll, aye to conflict. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 27 aye, 3 conflict.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with the House amendments to message number 337, Senate File 45, Liquor Dispensing Rooms. Senator Hicks, are you ready for Senate File 56?
President, I would move...
You ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
Read it in, please.
Message number 349, Senate File, referencing Senate File number 56, Omnibus Water Bill Planning.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, I'd move message 349, concurrence for Senate File number 56, Omnibus Water Bill Planning. Members of the Senate, what the House did is if you'll remember, in the planning bill, we stripped a little over $1 million out of that planning section, and what the House did is just add language that if there's insufficient funds to cover those projects that are existing in the planning bill, that they would get priority for funding in the next year for level one and level two funding. I think it's a good amendment. Those entities have already paid their application fees. They've been through the process. We probably ought to give them a little preference. Mr. President, I'd ask for a favorable consideration and a yes vote on concurrence.
Further discussion? The motion is that the Senate do concur on concurrence or message number 349 to Senate File 56. You've been asked to vote aye. You vote aye, you vote to concur. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstader?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Bonfladen?
Aye.
Aye. Wasterberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 30 aye.
By your vote, you have concurred with the House amendments to Senate File 56, Omnibus Water Bill Planning, message number 349. Mr. Vice President, would you come up here for a second, please? We'll do bills on second reading.
Who was on this committee with you for radioactive waste?
We had Scott. And
I'll think about it. We don't have to do it right now.
The Senate file states.
Yeah, who were they? I talked to Dave about it last night. Where's the signatures? Cole. Yeah, I did. We'll see.
The Joint Conference Committee for Senate File 6, it's a second conference committee, will be Senator Bonfladen, Chair, Senator Scott, and Senator Coe. Here you go, Ellen. House Bill 40, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 40, engrossed, Education Accountability.
House Bill 40, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 41, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 41, court-ordered placements, age restrictions.
House Bill 41, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the House Bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 64, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 64, engrossed, move-over requirement.
Move over. House Bill 64, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 93, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 93, engrossed, Wichee Repayment Program, Veterinary Medicine Students.
House Bill 93, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the House Bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 98, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 98, LLC Dissolution Distributions.
House Bill 98, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the House Bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 156, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 156, engrossed, Involuntary Commitment Emergency Detention Amendments.
House Bill 156, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 275, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 275, engrossed, Driver's Licenses Revisions.
House Bill 275, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, funny thing you should ask. Mr. President, I do have a consent list, and I move that consent list, third reading consent list, which is as follows. House Bill 23, Secretary of State's Office, Amendments. House Bill 44, Board of Professional Engineers and Land Safety Surveyors.
No, hold on a second.
Wait a second.
Hold on a second.
I've got the wrong...
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, let's start over. Do you have a consent list?
I have a different... Yeah, that was the one from yesterday, Mr. President.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, today is Wednesday, the 22nd.
Thank you for that clarification, Mr. President. I apologize. I have another consent list, Mr. President. And I move that I move the consent list for Wednesday, February the 22nd, which is as follows. House Bill 26, Mark Beadle Program Funding. Does this sound more familiar? Okay, House Bill 56, Mobile Homes Title Status Upon Permanent Foundation. House Bill 111, County Collective Accounts. House Bill 152, Search and Rescue Operations. House Bill 164, Professional Licensing Boards, Telemedicine, Telehealth. And House Bill 231, Firearm Possession, Allow Felons Antique Firearms.
Would anyone like any of the House bills removed from the consent list? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 26, Park Beetle Program Funding. House Bill 56, Mobile Homes Title Status Upon Permanent Foundation. House Bill 111, County Collective Accounts. House Bill 152, Search and Rescue Operations. House Bill 164, Professional Licensing Boards, Telemedicine, Telehealth. And House Bill 231, Firearm Possession, Allow Felons Antique Firearms. Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll for the consent list?
On the consent list, Agar?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Bouchard?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe? Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Ellis?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Kinski? Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Fladern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Bebout?
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 aye. House Bill 26, are there any changes?
Co, aye to no.
Co, aye to no.
Perkins, aye to no.
Agar, aye to no.
Bouchard, aye to no.
Baldwin, aye to no.
Peterson, aye to no.
Bebout, aye to no.
Bebout, aye to no.
Case, aye to no.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 26, 22 aye, 8 no. House Bill 56, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 56, 30 aye. House Bill 111, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 111, 30 aye. House Bill 152, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 152, 30 aye. House Bill 164, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 164, 30 aye. House Bill 231, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 231, 30 aye.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 26, Park Beetle Program Funding. House Bill 56, Mobile Homes Title Status Upon Permanent Foundation. House Bill 111, County Collective Accounts. House Bill 152, Search and Rescue Operations. House Bill 164, Professional Licensing Boards, Telemedicine, Telehealth. And House Bill 231, Firearm Possession, Allow Felons, Antique Farms, have passed the Senate. Fellow Senators, we're honored today to have Wyoming's Adjutant General, Major General Luke Reiner, with us today to recognize the military members sitting in the back. Every year, we welcome these brave men and women to the Senate and thank them for their service and sacrifices, and what a sacrifice they made for this great country of ours. General, we invite you to say a few words and introduce us to these fine individuals. Welcome, General. Let's give them a warm welcome. Senator.
Mr. President, esteemed senators and staff, thank you for allowing us a few minutes this morning to address you. First, let me just tell you that on behalf of the 3,000 men and women of the Wyoming Military Department, we want to thank you for your solid and your consistent and your continuing support. What I would report to you this morning is that the state of your Wyoming Guard is strong, and that we have been active in both your state and your federal missions. On the state side, last summer, 84 Guardsmen from your Wyoming Guard deployed on flood support missions to Fremont and Carbon County, where they filled lots and lots of sandbags. A smaller number of men and women deployed in record time to Pine Bluffs after a devastating hailstorm hit that community. And recently, just last week, in fact, over 100 guardsmen deployed to Washakie and Bighorn counties and worked there in support of either flood or ice jam operations. You know, this hard work from your guard has helped the state agencies provide assistance to those to the residents in those areas, and it's made possible because of the dedication of the guardsmen who live in your communities and are your constituents. On the federal side, as the combat reserve of the United States Army and the United States Air Force, I would share with you that in a world of increasing turbulence, your men and women are representing Wyoming incredibly well. Over this last year, we sent multiple units out the door from both our Air and our Army Guard, and we are happy to report to you that just recently, 30 soldiers from your Army National Guard returned home from Afghanistan back into Lander, and a similar number of Air National Guard airmen have returned from various overseas locations. They are now home with their loved ones, and it's always good to get our returning guardsmen home. Let me just share with you that sadly, and you know this, that service to our country is not without a price. And our state has not been immune to that. And the group of individuals I want to introduce you to this year is members of our Wyoming's Gold Star families. Each one of them have lost a loved one during our nation's fight in the global war on terror. And Mr. President, with your permission, I'd like to invite them forward.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Please just gather right in front here.
So let me first introduce you to the members that are here today for Sergeant First Class Michael Parrott, who was killed in Iraq on the 10th of November in 2005. Here today is his widow Meg, his stepson Jason, and his cousin Kate. Also with us this morning is Miss Terry Hayes and her daughter Eleanor, who lost their husband and father, Captain Bruce Hayes, in Afghanistan on the 17th of September in 2008. To honor Chief Warrant Officer 3, Andrew McAdams, who died in Afghanistan on the 10th of January in 2014, is his widow Carol, his daughter Madison, and his parents Brian and Kay. Unable to join us this morning are family members of Captain Robert Lucero, who was killed in Iraq on the 25th of September in 2003. So, go ahead. Maybe just a couple closing comments here. All of these soldiers took an oath to serve this great state and our nation, and each paid the ultimate sacrifice. And the pain is felt forever by their families. The Wyoming Military Department is part of that family, and while we hope to never, ever, ever lose one of our members, when it happens, know that we are committed to taking care of our Gold Star families and to remember their loved ones. To that point, later today, this afternoon at 4:30 at our headquarters, the Joint Force headquarters, we will dedicate a memorial to honor these men that the Wyoming Guard has lost. So we've been at war for 16 years, and we think it's time to put up a memorial in our headquarters to these sacrifices. The memorial will remind us forever that Wyoming was and is actively engaged in our nation's defense during the global war on terror, and that our state lost citizen soldiers in the pursuit of freedom for this world. I hope you can join us this afternoon if your schedule allows it. I do want to thank you for your time to speak here today and to recognize the deeds of your men and women who serve in the Wyoming Military Department, and to recognize some of those who definitely continue to carry the burden. So thank you very much.
General Reiner, we want to thank you so much for joining us today and allowing us to honor these outstanding men and women. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for service to Wyoming and the nation, especially to the Gold Star families. General Reiner, I've got a token of the Wyoming legislature. Maybe it would be appropriate now, if you wouldn't mind, if we go present them to these families, each one of them.
Absolutely.
We'll go do that.
That's great.
Thanks again, General. Godspeed. Well, after that, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're ready for bills for consideration on general file for Wednesday now, not for Tuesday. Senator Landon, first for you.
Mr. President, thank you. I'm trying to get rid of the knot in my throat, but...
You want privilege of the floor, Senator Landon?
Privilege of the floor, I would appreciate it.
You may.
Mr. President, you know, on Military Day here, every year, I always think it's appropriate to acknowledge all of our military who can't be here. And we have so many of them scattered out across our state. I'm really proud of the fact that Wyoming takes such great pride in doing what we need them to do. And I particularly want to send a shout-out to one of your constituents. He's up in Du Bois. He's one of our World War II guys, my dad. And I always think about him on Military Day because he landed on the beach of France and crawled across France. And a few days after the 253rd broke through the German lines, my dad was hit. Fortunately, he survived that and got home, but a lot of his brothers didn't. And so I just wanted to send a shout-out to him and to all of those in that great generation and, of course, all of those who served in the wars after that. But thank you for allowing me to do that, Mr. President.
And thank you, Senator Landon. And it wouldn't be right if I didn't mention my mother. And she is 96 now, members of the Senate. And believe it or not, she listens to all of you every day, and she has comments about all of your comments. And I'll share them with you after the session. But Mother was one of the first ladies to serve in the waves during World War II, and she's so proud of that. So to her and all the other veterans out there, we're thinking of you. Thank you so much. Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Mr. President, events like that always put a little bit of this in perspective about what we do and its relative sometimes importance and sometimes unimportance. But with that... we'll continue our work. Mr. President, if I can have privilege of the floor before I make the motion.
You may.
Just to, there may be, I know that members of the body are aware of the, excuse me, pace of progress that is happening on certain Senate files and things down there. I know there's some of you expressed some frustrations to me. Having thought long and hard about that, I go back to what Judge Brimmer once said to me in a case as we talked about another case that was going on that potentially could have some effect on the one that we were working in federal court. And he said, you know, I can't control what the other court does. All we can do is do the work that we have in front of us here. And I've always remembered that. And that's kind of the approach that we've got here. We're just going to go and we're going to do the work that we have in front of us. The things we can't control is the other end of the floor we can't control. We can't control what we do and how we work these bills and give Wyoming the work that Wyoming sent us down here to do, whether it's on House bills or Senate files. And so with that, Mr. President, I'd move that the Senate resolve itself in committee of the whole for consideration of House bills on general file.
You heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carried. Senator Hicks.
Well, members of the body, I'm going to provide a little narrative here for you this morning and kind of to take off where Senator Perkins, a good majority floor leader, left off. With regards to the legislature, you know, there's the old saying is you lead by examples, and folks, today we're going to lead by example on how to do the people's business. That being said, being an old rough stock writer, here's the new rules. This is called the Hicks Rule of Committee of the Whole. You get 8 seconds, and after that, you're bucked off. So this ain't no time, cowboy event here where you get to get out and lope around the arena for a while and sling your loop and dilly dally along. So this is rough stock day in the Wyoming legislature, and with that, the committee of the whole will please come to order. Your 8 seconds is up, Senator. Mr. President.
May I have privilege of the floor, Senator Hicks?
Mr. President, the privilege of the floor is yours.
One of my rules is that when you have announcements to be made, that you talk to me first. But that's a good announcement you made, so we'll let it go this time, Senator Hicks.
Thank you, Mr. President. So noted. The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 208. Will the reading clerk please... 28.
House Bill 28, Approved Depositories for Public Funds, an act relating to public depositories, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. Was referred to Committee Number 7, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Case, Nethercott, Pappas, and Scott. Excused, Senator Agar. Senator Case, Chairman.
You heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee the whole rights to report to do so with a due pass.
Hold on a second, Senator. Let me get your mic. All right. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a due pass recommendation for House Bill 28, Approved Depositories for Public Funds. Mr. Chairman, this was a... are you doing this one? And Mr. Chairman, I would yield to the tall senator with the great haircut.
All right. Senator Scott, for an explanation of the bill.
Mr. Chairman, this bill is basically a cleanup bill. What is going on is that it used to be you were required to be a depository for public funds. You were required to be a Wyoming bank. And we had a large number of those banks in 1994, the federal government allowed the banks to branch across state lines, and they provided that we couldn't discriminate between banks that had branched in the state and banks that were already here. So these banks became depositories. That's been the practical law since then. But our statutes still have language about the banks had to be incorporated in Wyoming and that sort of thing. And what this bill does is it is cleaning out that old language that has been superseded. You know, it's been more than 20 years now since they changed that law, and it's still causing a degree of confusion. So that's what this bill does. I could go into it in more detail if the Senate wants, Mr. Chairman, but that's all it does. It's a simple bill.
Question.
All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 28, say yea.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say no. Bill passes. House Bill 28 is passed the Committee of the Whole, and the next bill for our consideration is House Bill 37. Will the reading clerk read this? House Bill 47.
House Bill 47, Water Rights Procedures, an Act Relating to Water, sponsored by Representative Barlow, was referred to Committee No. 5, which returned the committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Barnard, Emmerich, Hicks, Meyer, and Moniz. Senator Moniz, Acting Chair.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure? Senator Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 47, Water Rights Procedures, do pass, and we'll turn the presentation of the bill over to Senator Boehner.
Senator Boehner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fellow senators, what we have here is a bill relating to the process by which somebody acquires water rights with the Board of Control. Currently, there's just sort of this awkward situation where the Board of Control oversees the process. They approve these requests for permits, but the county clerks are on the hook basically for noticing the public notice aspect of it, both functionally and financially. So what this bill will do is it will consolidate those functions within the Board of Control, and you'll see that to do so we're increasing the fee by $50. With that increase in fee is going to be an increase in responsibility with the Board of Control to basically advertise, provide the public advertising and the public notice for the actions of the board. So that's basically all that the bill does. It like I said, just streamlines the process and does not place the expectation upon the county clerks to do half of the Board of Control's or part of the Board of Control's duties for them. So that's what the bill does. It's very simple, very straightforward. I'd certainly stand for any questions.
Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Why $100? Why did you come up with that number?
Senator Agar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just curious as well. When was the last time we raised these fees?
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Along with that, I'm reading this right, if I understand this right, this is also, is this part of this fee used for the publication of the notices? It talks about providing the proofs of the, and so publication, does this cover the publication fees?
Any other questions for the sponsor before he answers these? Senator Boehner.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So to answer the first question, and I guess to answer both the first two questions, yes, the idea is to pay for all the administrative functions that are part of this process. I could certainly get more specific answers as to when the last time this fee was raised and exactly how those costs break down in terms of increased expectations we have for the Board of Control and Secretary of the Board of Control in particular. But generally speaking, that this is meant to consolidate all those functions within that board, and I can certainly find the exact figures and the methodology behind the exact $50 increase fees, but certainly it you know we're going to be adjusting for inflation as part of this process. We're going to be adjusting for all the costs associated with this because we'll be transferring those costs from the county clerks up to the Board of Control. So I can certainly like I said get some more specific information as to the exact dollar figures. I can have that on second reading, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Meyer,
thank you. And to answer the the majority floor leader's question as far as who pays for the advertising fees under 41.4.5.11, if you turn back to page 8, lines 15 and 16, the appropriator shall pay the necessary fees as provided by 41.4.5.11, and that's in the final proof in section on page 4, 41.4.5.11. So there is a little bit of a switch there. The appropriator pays for the advertising.
Senator Perkins.
So, and I see that, Mr. Chairman, and I guess this is the question. Maybe we can get this information to come in on second reading tomorrow. So, and then as I look at 41.4.5.11, which is this modified on page 5, if this is kind of down, starts on about line 13 and goes to the bottom of the page. So you talk about the Secretary of Board shall use the fee to pay the appropriate amount of money for the county recording fee for the recording of the certificate of appropriation in the office of the county clerk in which the water is situated, and then the new language, the newspaper advertising fee for advertising several proofs as provided in this section. And I know that, the reason I ask that question is when you bring back the information, you might bring back, I don't know how big these notices are, but we're talking about if you can fight it in column inches, because my experience with advertising the paper is it ain't cheap, and $100 isn't going to get close to covering it, unless these are really small.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So essentially the board, the $100 are going to pay for the filing fees and the clerk's fees and the things to file, actually file for county records. The advertising is going to be paid by the appropriator. You're essentially letting the county get off the hook for any of these things that they used to. Essentially that was an unfunded mandate back to the counties. The counties wanted off the hook. This bill basically gets the counties off the hook. Provides enough fees to provide for any of the filing or any and some of the related administrative costs. Doesn't handle all of the related administrative costs, but it does handle essentially more than enough to pay for the filing fees for the county records. But there are a lot of administrative costs dealing with, you know, essentially salaries and different things that the Board of Control has to have. The advertising is a small amount. Actually, when you look at a new water right, your biggest fee or cost is going to be hiring an engineer to provide for all of the mapping that occurs with a new water right. Then if you look at 41.4.307 on page 4, this doesn't occur very often. This is when you have a major watershed where you have to have a total re-adjudication of all of the rights. That is under the Board of Control rather than the counties. One hasn't happened in about 20 years. It may happen in the next 5, or it may not happen for another 40.
Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Moniz's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 47, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? No. House Bill 47 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 61.
House Bill 61, Collection of Antlers and Horns, sponsored by Representative Clausen, an act relating to game and fish, was referred to Committee Number 6, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Boner, Emmerich, and Boniz. No, Senator Barnard. Senator Emmerich, Chair.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator Emmerich?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report, it do so with favorable recommendation that House Bill 61 do pass. And for an explanation of this very complicated little bill, I'll call on me. It's already illegal to enter upon or trespass upon a person's property without permission. This little bill refers to collection of antlers or horns, places it under 23.3305 of Game and Fish Rules laws to just give us one more act that is illegal specifically to the collection of antlers and horns. And that's all the bill does. It adds 4 words into the statutes that are related to hunting from highways, things of that sort, prohibited actions. And I'll be more than happy to answer questions.
Ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Emmerich's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 61, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 61 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 84. Will the reading clerk please read that in?
House Bill 84, engrossed, Workers' Compensation, Delinquent Employers, sponsored by Representative Barlow, an act relating to labor and employment, was referred to Committee Number 10, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Baldwin, Boner, Bouchard, Peterson, and Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator Scott?
Mr. Chairman, I move when the Committee of the Whole rise and report that it do so the recommendation that House Bill 84 do pass. There was no standing committee amendment, and for an explanation of the House bill, I yield to Senator Von Plater.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 84, Workers' Compensation, Delinquent Employers. This bill brings another opportunity to bring an employer into compliance. So right now, when you get behind on your workers' comp payments, the only recourse the Workforce Service has is shown on page 2 on line 11, where it says, if the employer, or it, starting on 9, if the employer fails, neglects, or refuses to satisfy his liabilities within the 30-day period, the amount shall, that's the old language, shall be recovered by civil action in the name of the director. So what this does is give them another opportunity. We strike the word shall and we say may be recovered by civil action in the name of the director. So this allows a little leeway for workforce services to take them to court if they really think they're delinquent or to set them up with some kind of payment plan. You go further down on page 2, you go down to line 18. Starting on 17, premiums not paid on or before the date due shall bear interest of 2% per month was the old language. We've taken that 2% to 1% per month. So 2% per month would be 24% a year, which is a bit cruel and unusual punishment, I would think, if you were to fall behind on your delinquency on your workers' comp payments. So what we're trying to do here is get somebody on a payment plan that allows them to dig themselves out of a hole. As you know, the turndown in my county, as far as 500 coal miners laid off, which then really worked in about 2,000 people being unemployed with all the service companies that were related, they found themselves falling further and further behind on these payments. So this is a way to allow the commission or the Workforce Services Group to set them up in something less than a onerous situation. You go to line page 3, you go to line 6 and 7, and it says the consequences of these remedies, the Attorney General, and the old language is shall immediately bring suit. We soften that up to say may bring suit in the name of the state for collection of all delinquent payments. Then you get down to line 12, 11, start on line 10 on that same page. If a judgment is rendered in favor of the state, the judgment shall be for double the amount of the payroll payment provided by this act. So what they were doing was if the judgment came in favor of the state, they would charge up to double the amount of the payroll premiums owed to the state. So what we did was we struck the word double, and we say the judgment shall be for the amount of the premium liabilities pursuant to subsection A of this section, interest and penalties together with the cost. In other words, we didn't double them. We just said if you lost, you would pay us what you owed us. Once again, line 21, we struck the shall and added the may. And then on line 23, we struck the shall again. And it says, now operations may in whole or in part be enjoined until required payments are made and the employer complies with this act. Once again, this is so what they would do is they'd shut down the whole company by enjoining them because they fell behind on their workers' comp payment. This allows them to enjoin, may or whole or in part enjoin part of the company. This will allow them to still make some money and possibly get into this payment plan, which would then get them out of the hole they've dug themselves in. And then it goes on to page
4, lines 5, it's all new language. The division may enter into the installment payment agreement. The next on line 10, agreement shall be agreed upon within 30 days of the notice. So when the Workforce Services finds out they are behind on their payments, they have to make this installment plan, get this put in place within 30 days. Line 14, the term of the installment payment agreement shall not exceed 12 months, which means we would not set them up for 36 or, you know, $2 a month for the rest of your life type deal. They all have to be done within 12 months. And then 17 through 20, little triple I, the prospective and liabilities which are reasonably expected to accrue during the term of the installment payment agreement may be included in the installment payment agreement. In other words, if you are going to then pay future, of course, you're staying in business and you're still operating, and so you're going to be paying workers' comp for the next 12 months, they can wrap those prospective payments in with your payment that you owe as far as your back taxes, and you pay it all at once, so you'd stay in compliance. Okay, on page 4, line 22, no additional interest penalties. So once you start, what that's saying is once you start the payment plan, we will not further put interest payments or penalties onto those payments. You've agreed to a set amount. We're going to keep it that set amount. We're not going to keep adding interest to what you do still owe us. In compliance to terms, and as long as you stay within compliance from the employer's relief from liability provided pursuant to Wyoming Statute 2714-104A. And what that is that if you are paying your workers' comp, you cannot be sued and you are not held liable, or nor are your co-employees held liable for any actions that happen at work. As long as you're in compliance with this installment payment, you still have that protection. And then it says, provided on line 7, provided that the employer has no further delinquencies under this section, and if an employee fails to comply with the terms of its installment payment agreement, all premiums, liabilities pursuant to subsection A of this section, which was the original interest and penalties assessed because you were behind on your payments, provided in this section shall be applied as if the original delinquency date minus any payments made. So what this does is allows for a Workforce Services to put you on an installment plan. It allows you to be covered under workers' comp for your employees, and it allows you to stop the interest from continuing to accrue, and it may end up in court, but it does not have to end up in court. It is at the discretion of the Workforce Services, and with that, I stand for questions, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The question I would have is how we would treat out-of-state people that come into our state. And in the past, and I haven't checked for the last 5 or 6 years, but a lot of times these out-of-state contractors come in and apply to get Wyoming workers' comp and actually do apply, do get it, and then they're here for just a little bit, then they're gone. Some of them haven't paid their payments. Some of them leave us with big bills on some of the people that might have been injured. As I read this, we would treat them the same as we do the good, hardworking Wyoming contractors. Is that the case, and did you have any discussion about why we would do that?
Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like some information about how many cases of delinquency we're seeing each year and if they're concentrated in certain communities. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions for the sponsor? Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the answer to the good president of whether or not we would treat a non-resident, yes, we would. But that would be up to Workforce Services. That's why we have the May in there. If they have just been not in contact, haven't set anything up in 30 days, then they would be go to court. That would be left up to them. But you also, as the bill says, you have to do something within 30 days. So if they just said, you know, change phone number, can't find them, then we'll go to court. We would treat them the same up until the point that they didn't do anything within that 30-day period, and we'd have to take them on from there. So that's how we treat them. In regards to how many of these issues have come up, there's the Workforce Services thinks they'll lose $283,473 just because we changed the penalty from 2% to 1%. But the object of this is to keep those people in business and have them come in right away as soon as they get their first notice within 30 days and begin making that payment. So do we save money in the long run? We hope so by this bill. Do we lose $283,000? Yes, they believe they will. So you can take that penalty and try to figure out how many people have actually been late on their workers' comp.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, further on the question of the out-of-state employers, we had testimony in committee, I believe, on another bill that the workers' compensation and the unemployment insurance people get a bond posted by these large employers coming in from out of state, and what they do is they take action against the bond to collect that. There is some difficulty. They don't always find them all. They find most of them, but not all of them. And so that's the first line of defense with people coming in from out of state. This one in particular, Mr. Chairman, the bankruptcies in the coal business, frankly, and also some of them in the oil and gas business have given cash flow problems to some of the suppliers. They eventually get paid, but they get hit with a real cash flow problem. And the workers' comp people in committee were testifying that this gave them a very good way to deal with those circumstances where they were getting an employer who was delinquent really for no fault of their own. They would eventually hopefully get made whole and do recover in large cases, and we don't want to go piling on and making the situation worse. So the department was very much in support of this bill.
Question on the bill. All those in favor of Senator Scott's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 84, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? House Bill 84 is passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill. Senator Dockstader.
And could I interrupt before we jump into a riveting discussion on fishing licenses for privilege of the floor?
Senator Dockstader, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank
before
you.
The riveting discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Senate, I'd like you to meet a group of students that come from a school district that repetitively places in the top five in all subjects tested. They pack their music concerts. Their athletic events are standing room only. Their gymnasiums are full of so many championship banners, I've lost track. But among the things they study and celebrate is the government of the state of Wyoming. They've made the 450-mile trip over here. They heard we might be messing with their transportation budget, so they jumped on a bus and headed out west 450 miles to come and see us and work the process and meet with some other government officials, head down to the Supreme Court. Members of the Senate, I'd like you to meet the Star Valley Middle School 8th grade class, and if they'd stand up and be welcomed by the Senate. It's a government class. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 87. Will the reading clerk please read that in?
House Bill 87, engrossed, return of victim's property held as evidence, sponsored by Representative Pownall, an act relating to the Victim and Witness Bill of Rights, was referred to Committee Number 1, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Christensen, and Hicks. Noes, Senators Kinski and Nethercott. Senator Christensen, Chair.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator Christensen?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 87, return of victims' property held as evidence, to present this Nice little bill will be Mr. Vice President Von Flatering.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm trying to catch up here a little bit on this. So what this bill does is House Bill 87, and I will look to the committee to help me on this one a little bit, but there is no standing committee amendment. So the criminal justice system, which is not contraband, so what they want to do is if you have your this story was related to me by a constituent who had his mechanic shop actually robbed that evening, so he called the police and they took some pieces for evidence. And they held him for quite a while, and he ended up actually buying new equipment, new tools, because he needed to go back to work immediately, and then they needed to hold some of that as evidence. So what it says on page two, line two, it says, let's start with line one. Criminal justice agencies shall work together to expedite the return of the property, which is not contraband. That's new language. Line three, when it is no longer needed, the prosecuting attorney shall properly notify law enforcement agencies when evidence is no longer needed. The new language starts with line five, the prosecuting attorney shall notify the attorneys for the defendants of the intention to return the property within 20 days prior to its return, enable the defendant to seek relief from the court. So in other words, we want to return that property that is not considered or can be supplanted with a photograph, and return it to the victim of the crime instead of putting it out there or withholding it, and it could go 6 months, a year, whatever, until the time it gets to court. And that person may need that tools, that equipment, prior to that moment. So this goes into the details of how they'll do it. And I'm sorry I didn't show up at the committee hearing, but this is what I do remember of this particular bill. And it allows for photographs of property available as evidence, and submitting the photographs and evidence in lieu of the property will substantially prejudice any. So all these things that they have to find before they give it away, and this will be before they return the property to the victim. So with that in mind, I will stand for questions, and I'm really hoping the committee can help me on this one.
Senator Christensen.
Mr. Chairman, on and for the bill. Years ago when I managed an evidence locker, you know, it wasn't uncommon that you'd see people that had been victims once and then they were unable to get their property back to continue on with what they needed it for. And so this goes a long way toward helping that issue. It's keeping people from being re-victimized by the system, essentially. It does require some judgment from the prosecutors, and they're going to have to work on some procedures, but we have great faith in our prosecutors across Wyoming.
Are you ready for the question?
Right.
All those in favor of Senator Christensen's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 87, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
What was that?
Uno.
No. House Bill 87 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 121.
House Bill 121, engrossed, fishing licenses, sponsored by Representative Allen, an act relating to game and fish, was referred to Committee Number 6, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Barnard, Boner, Emmerich, and Moniz. Senator Emmerich, Chairman.
You've heard in the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator Emmerich?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when Committee of the Whole rises to report, to do so with the recommendation that House Bill 121 do pass. And for an explanation of this good little bill, I would yield to Senator Baldwin.
Senator Baldwin.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I don't know how I lead into a riveting conversation because it's too short. Maybe one rivet. This is a little three-page bill. It does one simple thing. Currently, you can get one-day licenses. The example that the committee heard and the reason that this came forth was if you hire an outfitter for horseback riding, for hunting, whatever that be, right now you're offered a one-day fishing license. You can buy any number of those you want, but you can only buy one day at a time. A good example of that would be If you came in today in the outfitting camp and said, I think I want to go fishing, but I want to ride horses today, tomorrow I'll go fishing. If you've read the weather forecast and this client didn't, tomorrow you won't be able to go fishing unless you want to fish through the snow, a foot of snow. That's a dilemma that they face. So what this bill presents is an opportunity for these folks to buy a five-day fishing license with the same rules and regulations that are in place for one day. But rather than buy a one day, then not be able to use it, they can buy a 5 day. So wherever it falls in that time, hopefully in the Wyoming weather, we find one good day when they can go fishing. Now, if you read the fiscal note on the back, the supposition of this fiscal note is that all of the one-day licenses will no longer buy one-day licenses. They'll all buy a 5 day license. So it would represent a loss to the department of, I believe, $26,000. I would give you a different supposition. I believe that more people will buy 5 day licenses that right now aren't buying licenses because they don't want to take that chance of buying several one-day licenses or buying two and not having the opportunity to fish. Simple bill, simple concept. It's a slight savings by buying a five-day as opposed to buying 5 one-days, hoping that that is a little bit of a motivation for these people to just buy a five-day license. With that, I would stand for questions and encourage your support of the bill.
Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I understand all of that. Why did you eliminate them having to pay for the conservation stamp? Or will they still have to pay for it?
Senator Baldwin.
To answer the good president's question, right now with the one-day license, they do have the opportunity to not have to buy the conservation stamp. I just kept this rule in the same regards as those. If you buy a one-day fishing license now, regardless of whether you buy one or five or however many you buy, there is not a requirement. There is a release from that requirement of buying a conservation stamp. So right now, one-days don't buy. We kept the five-day license in that same realm of not buying one.
Mr. President.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. What do other states do? I'm trying to remember when I go fishing in other states, it seems to me that I pay a lot more than $54 for a five-day license. Are we comparable with that rate? Are we under it? Are we over it? Where do we fit with the rest of the Rockies?
Senator Baldwin.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I can't give you the exact numbers. I can get those numbers for you, but I believe we're in the ballpark. Now, if you look at the regular fishing license, if you were just to buy a fishing license to be good all year or a month or however long you want it to be good for, it's not significantly higher than $54, but it is higher. And there are people that do buy that rather than buy the one-day or now the five-day licenses. But I believe that we heard in committee that we are fairly comparable to the surrounding states.
Ready for the Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can relate the cost of fishing licenses for 5 days in two other states. They are not Rocky Mountain states, but they're on the Great Lakes, primarily on Lake Superior. And one is $60 and one is $40. So we're in the ballpark with this fee.
Ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Emmerich's motion, on the committee of the whole rise and report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 121, say yay.
Aye.
No, yay.
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 Aye. Those opposed, no.
Make fishing sounds.
House Bill 121 has passed the committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 159.
House Bill 159, engrossed, Homeless Minors, sponsored by Representative Zwanitzer, an act relating to children, was referred to Committee Number 7, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Case, Nethercott, Pappas, and Scott. Excused, Senator Agar. Senator Case, Chairman.
Let's see. You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator Case?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a do pass recommendation on House Bill 159, Homeless Minors. Mr. Chairman, there is a standing committee amendment. I'd ask that it be read in at this time.
House Bill 159, standing committee amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 4, line 1.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the standing committee amendment, and for an explanation of the bill and the standing committee amendment, I would yield to one of the sponsors, Senator Boner, and I'm available to help if needed.
Senator Boehner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What House Bill 159 is getting at is a situation where we have a minor that has, for lack of a better phrase, is basically been abandoned by their parents and is basically taking on many, if not all, of the functions of adulthood. And what this will do is allow them the opportunity to legally take on those obligations. Currently, looking at current statute, in particular Title 14, -1-200 series Article 2 in Chapter 1 of Title 14, emancipation of minors just isn't adequately getting the job done in many circumstances where, first of all, the individual in question has to be 17 years old, and they have to go through the district court, and that process can be very time intensive and often is just prohibitive for actually getting these minors the legal rights that they need to function in society. So this is an attempt to address those concerns. In particular, on the top of page 2, you see that we got some significant sideboards in there, and that you'll see that laundry list of the legally binding of contracts that they can enter into, whether it be or getting a birth certificate from the Department of Health or particular lines 3 through basically through 9 there. That's the laundry list of legally binding contracts they can enter into, whether it be for housing, employment, getting a vehicle, so on and so forth. Further on page 2, we have basically the requirements that these minors have to meet. Once again, so we're looking at least 16 years old as opposed to the current emancipation statutes. We're looking at 17 years old and basically living on their own, certainly with basically the consent of the parents in question is responsible for their own finances. And so the process by which they would basically have these legal rights or attain these legal rights is through an affidavit, and you'll see the process is on page 3 here in terms of the amount of information that they need on the affidavit, but also if you get towards the bottom, most importantly, it has to be witnessed by two other adults. So there is some there are checks and balances here, and you see that there at the bottom of the page, you know, the adult in question has to be an attorney, health care provider, moving on to page 4, a member of the clergy, and that's what the standing committee amendment deals with. We'll come back to that in a little bit, or a school administrator or licensed counselor. So they're going to be signing that affidavit as well. You need at least two of those individuals for this to take effect. Further on page 4, we provide some protections for the folks who enter into contracts with based off of these affidavits, saying if this is a fraudulent affidavit, beyond just being having that minor being liable for perjury, and that's also a provision of the affidavit on page 3, that the person that might have entered into a contract with one of these minors, in good faith, is not going to be held accountable if that was not necessarily, if there's a perjury involved with that affidavit. So you'll see we go on to define homeless and just clean up on page 5, stating that just because a person goes through this process does not necessarily mean that it's a cause for investigating abuse or neglect. It's not going to be a factor one way or the other. Certainly there's other factors that could come into question. So with that, we'll look at the standing committee amendment. You'll see that what it does basically on the top of page 4 is that it will delete the references to basically any member of the clergy, the idea being that it's relatively easy to even go online and get a certificate saying that you're some sort of religious professional would qualify under the way that this bill is currently written. So we want to, the committee wanted to delete that because it seemed like that could be a significant loophole. Somebody could go online and get a certificate in, say, about 20 minutes and saying that they're a priest, minister, rabbi, so on. So that's what the amendment does. Also, just a little bit clean up further down replacing the that with who, just making sure that our statutes read well. So that's a committee amendment, and I certainly stand for any questions on the amendment.
Questions on the amendment? All those in favor of Senator Case's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 159, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment is passed. We're back on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That is the bill. I'd stand for any questions.
Questions on the bill?
Question.
No. Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a couple of questions about this bill. Most of it has to do with what we're doing is essentially, in our limited circumstances, is reducing the age of majority to age 16, provided that we have a religious counselor or somebody who's a responsible person say that in their mind, this 16-year-old adolescent understands what it is they're getting into. And I'm just wondering about that. My concern in this, I understand the problem we're trying to solve, but the other side of it is we're making these 16, 17-year-old adolescents liable under contract for whatever is it for, either housings or cars or other things like that they sign up for. Having represented some landlords in the past, I can tell you that you can take a $3,000 or $4,000 or even a $2,200 rent case, and by the time they sign a lease that's got a per diem penalty on it, because for every day that they're late, it adds a certain amount, have exorbitant interest rates on them, things like that, and you can take a $2,200, what could have been paid in $22 worth of rent, ends up being $10,000 or $15,000 by the time you add on attorney's fees and chase around and cost of collection and all the other things that get added on. And you can have the same thing. You look at somebody goes into one of these places where you buy here, as a buy here, pay here, car loan places, where you come in and do a contract and they'll come back and they know that you're not going to be able to make those payments on those cars, and they come back and 3 months later, they repossess your car, and not only that, they get a judgment against you, and they can go out to a collection agency. And so, I worry. Long story short, Mr. Chairman, I really worry about it. And I'd be interested in what the discussion was. I mean, it'd be easy to see a kid who is finally reaches the age 18 and could have judgments and a financial burden that's placed upon them that would take them years to get over and out of. And so how do we balance that? I mean, I understand the problem with homelessness. I understand what we're trying to do here. But at the same time, you've got kids, and I don't know that adults, much less kids that are under the age of 18, have a full appreciation for what it is they're getting into when they sign these contracts are out here, when you're looking at the folks that are going to be willing to take a risk on somebody in this situation, and these folks, they're going to be low income folks, and as I look at this has the opportunity. This bill, if we pass it, has the ability to consign them to a debtor's prison, if you would, for a long time.
Mr. Vice President,
thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you go to 14.1.101, and this is creating 102. It talks about emancipation. So are we, and then this one starts out, an unemancipated minor. So are we bestowing all the rights of an emancipated 18-year-old onto somebody that could be as young as 16? And I do share that concern with the good senator from Casper, is that they can sign for an apartment, they can assign... they can sign their name for a car. And so at 16, was I ready for that? I tend to doubt it. But, once I got somebody to swear that I was somehow unemancipated, but yet a minor, yet 16, yet not living with my folks, I could sign for all this and put myself in possible future debt. So I'm wondering if there's a difference between unemancipated and emancipated. By passing this, do we make them the same?
Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I think maybe we ought to just take one step back a little bit and talk about who this bill's for. This bill is for children that are close to being adults, but they're obviously not there yet. They are making it on their own now. They're, and we as a society have a couple of different ways that we could look at this. We could say, well, we can force them into, say, the jurisdiction of the Department of Family Services, for example. We could, you know, as being neglect cases, and they would be probably institutionalized. And that would probably be the outcome. Once the statistics aren't very good once you're institutionalized. These are basically good kids that don't have a home. They jump around. They stay with friends. It's called couch surfing. It's very common among kids. And their parents may not even be here. They may only have one parent. They may not have a good relationship with this. You pick the reasons why a kid might not have the ability to have a wonderful home life like every kid I want to have, but on the other hand doesn't deserve to be in an institution where the chances are once you come into the system, you become systemized and the outcome is not good. So this is a compromise. It's in the middle. It's trying to find some ground where you can just provide enough ability for these children to make it on their own. And they're good kids. They're smart kids. They're going to school. They're working several jobs. They're probably more adult than a lot of adults, unfortunately, because of the way life has dealt them. And this is a way to say, you know, you're doing okay and you're going to make it. And there are plenty of kids that have made it this way. But this lets them sign a contract. And, yes, that's a big, heavy-duty deal. But how else are they going to get housing? How else are they going to arrange for a vehicle? And how else will they pursue education without the ability to handle those things on their own? That is the limit of the emancipation, just in those areas. So it is a delicate balance. I can see the difficulty. I honestly thought before I even heard this bill in committee, I thought, you know, this is going to be bad for families because this is going to make it easy for kids to leave families. And the truth is, that's not it at all. These are kids that probably want more than anything to have a family, but they don't. And they're making on their own, just barely. And this is a tool to help them and to keep them out of the system. The only persons that testified against the bill was one person from the Department of Family Services, Mr. Chairman. The rest of the witnesses from all sorts of interactions with youth and children supported this bill. And I do see the balance here, but I think it's for the right balance, and I hope you'll support the bill.
Ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Case's motion when the Committee of the Whole rise and report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 159, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? No. Bill passes. House Bill 159 is passed the Committee of the Whole, and the next bill for our consideration is House Bill 165.
House Bill 165, engrossed, Acupuncture Practice Act, sponsored by Representative Barlow, an act relating to professions and occupations. It was referred to Committee Number 7, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Case, Nethercoff, and Pappas. No, Senator Scott. Excused, Senator Agar. Senator Nethercott, acting chair, was re-referred to Committee Number 2, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, Hastert, and Landon. Senator Driscoll, acting chair.
You've heard the reading of your bill. What's the pleasure, Senator Case?
Mr. Chairman, I would move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a due pass recommendation on House Bill Number 165, the Acupuncture Practice Act. Mr. Chairman, there is a standing committee amendment. I'd ask it to be read in at this time.
House Bill 165, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, to engrossed copy, page 1, line 5.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There are two fine sponsors of this bill on the floor, and I know that they're ready to roll. But, Mr. Chairman, I would point out in the Standing Committee Amendment, as we discuss it forward, there's an appropriation that was added by the committee to replace a appropriation that was removed in the other body. The second Standing Committee Amendment also deals with that appropriation, so you'll see that the second Standing Committee Amendment would delete the appropriation part and further amend, and I think that's perfectly appropriate. I like what they did. But for an explanation of the bill, and throw it back to me if you want to, me to do the Standing Committee Amendment later, but I would yield to Senator Peterson.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll try to be brief as I possibly can with this bill. This seems to be an old friend as it has returned to the legislature again this year, and we have tried a number of times to get this accomplished. Just some background information. We are one of the last four remaining states in these United States that do not have some type of a licensure or application or a board to oversee the practice of acupuncture in the state. One of four. And I don't know if that's something to be proud of or we're just slow to the game. But anyway, this bill, Mr. Chairman, creates the Acupuncture Practice Act. It establishes a board of acupuncture, and that board would regulate the practice of acupuncture in the state. It also would provide rulemaking, provide penalties, and establish an account, and all to be started in July of 2018. As we read through the bill, it has definitions on page 2, defining acupuncture, acupuncturist, the board, license, licensee, and NADA and NCCAOM, National Commissions or Certification Commissions for Acupuncture. On page 4, we talk about the board created and how that board would be comprised. Five-member board appointed by the governor, one board member from the public, three board members from the engaged or practice that are engaged in practicing of acupuncture for a period of not less than 5 years on their term on that board. And then the last final member, a member who is of the healthcare professional licensed pursuant to this title or this chapter. And so that's the board that would comprise the acupuncture board. For the state, again, they're appointed by the governor. To begin with, those terms would be staggered until that board is better established. On board, page 5, line 18, that the minimum requirement at least meet once a year. I would guess that would be sufficient after the board has been established and the rules have been drafted and promulgated and basically set up. Talks about on page 6 the reimbursement of the board, that the board shall not receive any compensation for their services except per diem and mileage. And then it lies out on the bottom of page 6 the duties and responsibilities of the board. And they would basically determine the standards for these licensees by requiring continuing education, establish professional conduct standards, ethical standards of practice. They could they will approve or disapprove applications for licensure and issue the licenses. They'll address renewals and reinstatements. They would even establish a tiered licensing as necessary for the different practices of acupuncture. They would have the authority to censure, suspend, or revoke licenses as provided in this chapter, in this Administrative Procedures Act. They would initiate and conduct investigations, hearings, and proceedings concerning alleged violations of this chapter. That's on the bottom of page 7. Go to page 8. They would keep a record of all these proceedings, provide an annual report of all board actions. On line 5, establish application and licensure fee. The requirements for these licensees to be regulated and pay those fees. They would set up that fee in accordance to the statute 33-1-201. On line 11, they promulgate rules and regulations On line 14, we talk about they might have the possibility or option of hiring a full-time employee or a contract with an individual as determined necessary to administer its affairs as a board and to regulate acupuncture in the state of Wyoming, the practice. Line 18, fees collected by the board should be deposited in the state treasurer's office and credited to the Wyoming Board of Acupuncture account. We go to page 9. This spells out the beginning January 1st, 2018. It talks about no person shall practice acupuncture or hold himself out as acupuncturist. 2 Romanette talks about the use of the title acupuncturist or any variant thereof. Romanette 3 talks about the use of any configuration of letters, including the LAC after his name, indicating degree of acupuncture. So it lays out some shalls and shall nots. On page 10, we talk about some of the exemptions. Starting on line 11, the following persons are exempt from this chapter's licensure requirements. Romanette I, an acupuncturist licensed to practice acupuncture in another jurisdiction while teaching or demonstrating and providing acupuncture in connection with teaching and participating in educational seminars in Wyoming. Second, an acupuncturist licensed in another jurisdiction who enters a state during a natural disaster to practice acupuncture. Romanette III, with board approval, a person in training may practice acupuncture, provided all services are performed under the direct supervision of an acupuncturist licensed in this state. So those are the exemptions. On the bottom of page 11, it talks about the shalls. An applicant for licensure to practice acupuncture under this chapter shall, going to on top of page 12, apply for this licensure. Romanette 2, pay the required fees. 3, furnish to the board evidence that the applicant has, and it talks about some of these requirements, graduated from an accredited ACAOM program that passed the NCCAOM examination, or B, and B, graduated from an accredited ACAOM program and continuously has practiced acupuncture in this state for at least 10 years before January 1st, 2018. The last one was C, completed the other examination, education, or apprenticeship processes the board considers substantially qualifying, or the NADA Certificate of Training Completion if applying for an acupuncturist license. It talks about on line 4, licenses shall be renewed or reinstated according to the schedule established by the board. It talks on line 11 about the applicant for licensure or licensee shall report any pending or final administrative or disciplinary actions or other judgments. And so basically, Mr. Chairman, fellow senators, it lays out the actions of the board, setting up the board, and policing themselves as this healthcare profession of acupuncturists in our state. It's past time that this happens. We do have acupuncturists around the state that are practicing the art of acupuncture in this state without any type of regulations or checks or balances or a board reviewing.
Senator Peterson? Standing committee amendment number 1 has been read in. Would you like to move that amendment?
I would, Mr. Chairman. If that could, I would move standing committee amendment number 1, and I would defer to the committee chairman to explain that standing committee amendment.
All right. Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. The standing committee amendment has, it doesn't sound like much words, but there was some controversy among the practitioners of acupuncture as to who's in and who's out and what it means. So they spent a couple hours working this amendment out, actually, and what it does is changes the representation on the board slightly and changes a few things that seem minor to me, but it made everybody happy, Mr. Chairman, and I'm all for happiness, you know that. And so, Mr. Chairman, the amendment, it does also provide for the appropriation. The committee put the appropriation back in, but let me deal with the rest of the amendment first. Page 3, line 19, you can see the word certification was taken out and certificate of training completion put in. So this is under the license, what a license is.
And so it would be NADA Certificate of Training Completion, as well as otherwise authorized by the board. Then, Mr. Chairman, if we go to the board makeup, which is on your very next page, page 4, line 16, you can see that it was did say member of the public and then three members who have been engaged in the practice. What this has done is split the two, the three into two and one. So it would now read member, one member of the public, one member who is NCCAOM certified, and plus two engaged in the practice. So it allows for representation on the board of this different way of being certified, Mr. Chairman. And then page 11, line 12, there's a little bit of shortening that happens here, and it's for the better. Give me 1 second, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. You can see lines 12 through 15, that language, that sentence, that clause of that sentence is completely removed. So instead of saying, start at line 12, their statutory scope of practice provided the relevant licensing board has adopted rules and regulations regarding acupuncture within the context of the profession's recognized standards, da 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 da. That's all taken out, Mr. Chairman. So now the sentence ends on line 12. Their statutory scope of practice, period. Line 15 picks up the next sentence. However, no person may represent themselves as an acupuncturist in any manner unless licensed in accordance with this chapter. Finally, Mr. Chairman, we go to page 13, line 2. I believe that this language, auricular, I hope I'm saying that right, it has to do with hearing, I believe. So line 2 will now say completion if applying for an auricular acupuncturist license, Mr. Chairman. That's everything on the Standing Committee Amendment that doesn't deal with the appropriations. The next part is the appropriations, Mr. Chairman. And it adds a $15,000 appropriation to get the board started. There is a subsequent amendment which increases that appropriation, but if we were to handle the subsequent amendment, it also deletes this one. So I don't see any reason to divide it out, and you, we could vote up or down on the Standing Committee Amendment. Mr. Chairman, I stand for question.
Question has been called. All those in favor of Senator Peterson's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to House Bill 165 say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment's passed. Back on the bill. We do have a another second reading, Standing Committee Amendment number 2 to House Bill 165, if we could have that read in at this time.
House Bill 165, Standing Committee Amendment number 2 to engrossed copy, page 19, line 15.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move Standing Committee Amendment number 2 to House Bill 165 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. Chairman, when... as the good chairman of corporations mentioned, we have to get this committee stood up. The people have to get appointed. It gets staffed by ANI, which also staffs, I believe, 17 other commissions and so forth. They after those people are picked, they come and gather and meet and then set up the licensing, provide the licensing. At this time, this commission is not getting any money from anybody. It's not till after they have done licensing that the licensed acupuncturists actually start paying. So it will become self-sustaining. The increase from $15,000 to $20,000 was ANI's recommendation for what it would cost to get one of these commissions stood up, and that's based on history of the last commission that was put together, which was the MMA commission, and. So it, we do not want to really shortchange them. Once this thing is going, in theory and from experience, we'll not hear from them again as far as any requested appropriations.
Mr. President.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the past, I think we've set up where we had loaned them the money, and over a period of time it was repaid. Is this just a direct appropriation, or is there something in here that I missed that says they will repay it, or did you figure out that they shouldn't have to repay it?
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, in the grand scheme of things, it was a de minimis amount of money, so we just decided to give them the appropriation.
Questions on the amendment?
Question.
Mr. Chairman,
you don't do that. I point out that's a historical statement by the chairman of the Appropriations Committee. I didn't know that he had a de minimis amount of money, to be perfectly honest.
Duly noted and recorded in the journal for this day, for posterity's sake. Question, Senator Perkins.
So, as the bill as it now stands, we've got this on the amendment. Oh, excuse me. Let's take the vote on the amendment. I think we're there.
Senator Scott, on Standing Committee Amendment Number 2.
Mr. Chairman, I've got one question that is relevant to the Standing Committee Amendment. And I was called over the weekend by an acupuncturist who was opposed to this bill. And one of the concerns that that individual expressed was that she was expecting the license fee to be $1,700 a year. And I don't know whether that's right or not, but it does bear on the amendment. And I would like to inquire of the proponents of the bill, is that figure bear any relationship to reality? Is it what would get they'd get hit with without this appropriation? Is it what prevents the system of loaning the money and getting it paid back by the occupation? I think it does play in, Mr. Chairman, to the amendment, and it would be useful to have an answer to the question, if there is one at this point.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I have no great extent of knowledge as far as the bill itself goes. I heard the $1,700 figure mentioned in passing in the presentation of the bill to us. The $20,000 versus 15 has nothing to do with what they're going to be charged for their license fees. That is just to get the commission itself stood up and going. And Mr. Chairman, it also, there is a concern that at least I'd like to express that if this bill does not pass, as the law stands right now, anybody can hang a shingle out and say they're an acupuncturist, whether they have any training or any experience whatsoever. I think
Senator Burns, we're on the amendment.
Yes. Well, the $5,000 adds more safety.
Thank you for that clarification, Senator Burns. Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, as to the fee, to answer the good tall senator from Bates Creek, with the mighty fine haircut, I might say.
Senator Pappas, you are on the amendment.
I am. The issue is that the $1,700 seems to me to be, having experience with a lot of these licensing boards, seems to be a bad number. Even our boards like the barbers boards, which have low number of registrants, have been able to keep their fees fairly reasonable. So I that number just seems a little bogus to me. So
on the amendment, Senator Perkins.
Thank you. On the amendment, Mr. Chairman, somebody from corporation can help us, because we kind of went through this in two places. We had some issues with MMA and being able to be paid from MMA licensing. And it seemed to me that we had initially some struggles. Well, I haven't heard anything the last year or two when we did this for midwifery. And I thought that with the few number of midwives in the state, that it was significantly, it was like some number over $2,000 sticks in my mind that they were paying, but there's only like eight of them. And I had a conversation with an acupuncturist over the weekend as well, and I thought, I remember right, she said there are maybe 30 or 50 they're talking about. So it's a low number. And a low number means if you're going to be self-sufficient, you got to pay whatever it takes to pay the freight.
Senator Landon, on the amendment.
Well, on the amendment, Mr. Chairman, thank you. I just wanted to join the Chairman of Appropriations in just explaining exactly that. When you have limited numbers and you're looking at those kind of license fees, we thought it was important that, that if we're going to support something like this, let's get that board up and running. That's the travel and all the things that go into establishing the rules and regulations that are outlined in this bill. And so let's do it right up front. We tried it one other way. The president is right. We tried it. We did half and tried to loan the other half, and they came back in a year or two later and hadn't made it. And so, you know, I think we need to pay the freight to establish this program, to make this bill work. And so that was the reasoning by your Appropriations Committee.
On a standing committee amendment number two, all those in favor of Senator Burns' motion to adopt the standing committee amendment number two to House Bill 165, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Amendment passes. We're back on the bill.
Question.
Briefly.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, on and against the bill. Mr. Chairman, I have problems with this particular bill. It is a classic fencing bill. If you look on page 9, line 10, you can't practice acupuncture. That's a defined term. Acupuncture is, you can go see the definitions in that section. What I'm unclear about, in some of the other areas where we've really tried to avoid this kind of fencing, we've had other people that were doing similar things without license, didn't need to have a license. I don't know whether that's here. My concern would be that there are a number of different ways that you can do acupuncture, and they don't always all agree with each other as to what should be done and what shouldn't. And I'm a little afraid if you get a dominant faction, they may try to put their competition out of business with this language. I think we'd be much better off without it. I don't think it's got the potential for putting a lot of people out of business, but I think it does, and I do know there is some opposition to the bill from within the acupuncturist community. I don't have any feeling as to how much, because I got called by one specific individual, and she was concerned about some of the what was allowed and what wasn't features, and was particularly concerned about the potential licensure fee, which if it's accurate, and it might be if there's just 30 or 40 or 50 of these people, we have a problem, Mr. Chairman. Once you get under 100 licensees in these, the fees can get quite high. And we're going to have to rethink, Mr. Chairman, I think, how we do some of these licensures. But for those reasons, I don't think this bill is quite ready for prime time. And I voted no in committee, Mr. Chairman. And since then, I've had the concern added as to the cost of the license and whether that will drive some of the people out of business.
Senator Peterson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just in a quick response, a majority of acupuncturists around the state have agreed to this bill and want to see this go forward. Is it ready for prime time? We'd be 47th state to have this license free. I think we've waited long enough with this one, Mr. Chairman. If you can think of a better way to police a professional that's hanging out his shingle and sticking needles in people for pain management without any type of licensure or a review board or a license of any type, you call it what you want. It's not a fencing bill. They want to police themselves. They want to make sure that the services that they're rendering to our public in the state of Wyoming are accredited,
substantial and worthy of the practice of acupuncture. I don't know. Everybody has their different thoughts of acupuncture. I've never used it myself, but I do have people in my small community, I know of two, that for pain management and treatment of prolonged illness from back surgeries. The other person I'm thinking of was a mechanic who ran a successful business who came down with some type of almost a stroke-like behavior, and his communication skills were deteriorated to the point where he had to close his business and retire early. And the one relief that he's found is an acupuncturist. And he travels 50 miles one way, 100 miles a day, once a week for this treatment, and it has helped. I can't explain it, but he swears by it. The other person I'm thinking of with back surgeries, it's the only pain relief that that they have been able to find. And I had a case similar to a situation similar in my going to a chiropractor for what they called a twisted rib. I don't know if any of you have had a twisted rib before, but it felt like a heart attack, and it was from here throughout. And it was about 4 months of constant pain, and I didn't know what I was going to do. And desperation, I went to a local chiropractor, and he put me on this hokey table with a collapsible, you know, and I thought, oh, here we go. But, you know, you get desperate. You get desperate to a point of just trying anything to relieve the pain. And one pressed on my back, and it was instant relief.
Senator Peterson, are you on the car?
I am. I'm on the bill.
Because some of us are getting desperate
for lunch. My point is if you're to that situation in your own lives, you try anything. And if it works, you can't explain it. If it works, so be it. And so with that, it's time. We're behind the curve, you might say, on this particular bill. We've waited long enough. The time is now, and I'd appreciate your yes vote on this bill.
Senator Nethercott, are you ready for the question?
Mr. Chairman, if I may just add some very brief, pithy comments here just to make sure the body is aware of the legitimacy of this particular bill and this act. So what we learned in testimony at the committee was that the VA provides this service to their veterans. They cover it. It has incredible efficacy for those soldiers who come back from war, for PTSD treatments, and all others as well. So very important. The majority of health insurance providers across the country also cover it. The one in Wyoming does not, but the majority do. Also, we heard from providers who have malpractice coverage, whose coverage is about to be jeopardized because they just don't have that legitimacy that they're seeking in this bill. So for those reasons, I urge your support. Credibility and legitimacy is very important.
Senator Christensen.
Mr. Chairman, you know, when I was approached with the bill, I expressed the same interest as a tall senator from Natrona County, same concerns about excess licensing. And what I learned was, because we are one of the few states without licensing, the people who have been in the practice for a while and maybe don't have a good track record but can't get licensed, they come to Wyoming to practice. That sounds like a problem. Then they went on to describe that not uncommon for people who aren't good at the practice is to puncture a lung. And, Mr. Chairman, I think this bill's for the children.
Okay, we're going to start invoking the eight-second rule here really quick. Senator Pappas.
On and for the bill, just to talk about the fencing issue, you know, it's really not fencing. We need laws like this for health, safety, and welfare. There's a reason why we have professional licensing, and that's to make sure that we are protecting the health and safety and welfare of all the constituents in Wyoming. On and for the bill.
Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, in direct answer to my friend from Bates Creek, on and for the bill, one of the points he brought up and had been brought to him, yes, there are a number of different theories behind acupuncture, so there are different acupuncturists who practice different ways. But on the other hand, you run into the same thing with chiropractors, too. There are different theories of chiropractor, yet they still manage to get licensed and they still manage to get along. So on with that, and I think that added to the point of what the good chairman of Judiciary said, where because we're not licensed, we're getting the guys who have had their license revoked elsewhere coming into this state, and I think this would put an end to that. And I'm for it as long as they don't want their own license plate.
Senator Burns, are you ready for the question?
Question.
Question's been called. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion when the Committee of the Whole rise and report to do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 165, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Bill passes.
Mr. Chairman, may I have privilege of the floor?
Senator Pappas, you may have privilege of the floor.
Well, ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, at the risk of being a disobedient child, because my parents told me not to introduce them, I'm going to do it anyway. In the chamber behind here are my father and my mother, Theoni and Andy Pappas. Please welcome them.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, what can you say, Mr. Pappas? You buy them books, send them to school, and look what they do. Anyway, with that, Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again.
You've heard the motion. With your pleasure, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carried.
Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, privilege of the floor.
You may.
I'd just like to recognize one of our colleagues, member of the Judiciary Committee out in the gallery, and it's always good to see him in the chambers. Let's welcome him back.
Who? Oh. Senator Christensen, I was wondering who. Okay. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a motion?
Mr. President, I'd move that we stand in recess until 2:30. Excuse me, 2 p.m. 2 p.m., not 2:30.
Announcements. Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Committee number 9, Joint Minerals and Economic Development, will meet with our counterparts at the other house tomorrow, 15 minutes after noon recess in Jonah Room L54, to discuss interim topics.
Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Tribal Committee number 6 will meet Thursday morning, February 23rd, 8 a.m., Jonah Room S27, to consider House Bill 63, Engrossed Game Animal Licenses Limitations. And at 8:30, we will adjourn to the same room for a joint Tribal number 6 to discuss interim topics.
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Joint Judiciary will meet tomorrow, Thursday, at 8 o'clock in L54 to consider interim topics.
Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your Committee number 2, Appropriations, will meet upon adjournment to take up re-referred House Bill 236, School Finance Omnibus Education Funding. And after that, we will hopefully meet with our counterparts and continue negotiations on the budget bill.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Committee number 8, Transportation, will meet at 6 p.m. out at the Joint Forces Readiness Center. And, folks, I put a map out here so you know how to get there, anybody that needs to go there. We're going to look at two bills, Mr. President, House Bill 202, Engrossed motor vehicle insurance penalties continued, and House Bill 101, engrossed school district veterans employment preferences, Senate sponsors Von Flatteren and Wassenberger.
Senator Case.
Mr. President, thank you very much. Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporations, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in Jonah Room S18 to take up House Bill 77, In-State Tuition AmeriCorps Service. And hopefully that goes quickly, Mr. Chairman, because the other announcement is that your committee number 7 will meet tomorrow morning at 8:15 a.m. with our counterparts from down the hall to discuss interim topics. Also, that meeting will be in S18. One more meeting, Mr. President. The remnants of the Select Committee on Tribal Relations are going to meet tomorrow upon the noon recess at 12:30 to discuss interim topics, also in S18. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, and after our meeting, we're going to meet with counterparts from the House to discuss interim topics.
Any other announcements? Senator Pappas, when you were saying you shouldn't be saying about your mother, she was shaking her head. Like, what are you doing, my son? I've seen that. Look, there she is again. I've seen that before. You heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate will stand in recess until 2 p.m. this afternoon. Senator Case, I need to visit with you, please.